maybe my perception of the tenor of the times is not completely accurate, but I get the impression that everybody is once again preoccupied with COVID and panicking about it again, which is very disappointing because it makes it seem as if we haven't learned anything and we don't have any faith. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are not panicking and maybe people are not, but it seems like that's all anyone ever talks about. Very refreshing to be able to come to the church and to be able to follow the liturgical life, which is not about COVID. It's about God who has come into the world. And here we are in the last stage of the Christmas season. We are celebrating Epiphany, the revelation of God, the manifestation of God, which of course is a very different perspective than a revelation of another variant of the coronavirus. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned, don't get me wrong. Of course, what we should be concerned, whenever there is hardship in the world, we should look at it the way God looks at it. We should take care of the sick. If we are sick ourselves, we join our sufferings to those of Christ. We pray, but we don't lose all perspective. We don't lose the hope in God. We don't lose our faith just because another hardship comes along. Or we shouldn't, anyway. So, now let's focus a little bit on this Epiphany. Now, I said yesterday that Epiphany doesn't have an official octave, but unofficially, in most years, we have an octave. We have a week between Epiphany and the Feast of the Baptism. The only time it doesn't happen is when the baptism is not celebrated on a Sunday. That happens once in a while. But usually, Epiphany is on a Sunday and baptism is on a Sunday, so it's practically an octave. Now, the difficulty, if we think of Epiphany as the visit of the Magi, the difficulty is that that's a very short passage in one gospel, Matthew's gospel, and the Magi are not mentioned anywhere else. So how do you spend an octave or a whole week reflecting on the visit of the Magi? Well, we're not limiting our celebration of Epiphany to the Magi, the wise men. We're expanding our understanding of Epiphany to all the ways in which God manifests himself. Specifically, how he manifests himself in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And this is something that takes time to absorb. In fact, we can't absorb it. It's just too awesome that God has become man. It's mind-boggling that the infinite, all-powerful God has made himself present, not just present in a spiritual sense. I mean, of course he's present. There's nowhere else for him to go. He is everywhere. God is everywhere. But the awesome part, or the mind-boggling part, is that he has united himself so completely with one little baby. It's almost too much to take in. Here, you can, if you get a sense of Epiphany, you look at the front cover of this current issue. This is actually an Epiphany image. So you have, you know, at first you say, well, this is a typical Christmas image, that Mary holding the child Jesus. He's glowing with light. Joseph in the background, typically in the darkness there, kind of a hovering over the mystery, pondering, not afraid of these men, but pondering, what does this mean, that these strange characters from another country have showed up. And then what I find most striking about this front cover is the look on the face of the old man, one of the Magi. He's staring very intently at Jesus. It's as if he's saying, what is this? What is this? I came all this way to find the newborn king, and this is it? And as if he's saying, what can I do? All I see is a little baby. And yet I know this is the King of the Jews. This is the Savior. And You know, the Magi, when they came, they bowed down in worship before the child. So what they saw with their eyes was another poor child in a poor place, but what they saw with faith, what they saw with their hearts, the manifestation that they accepted by faith, is that this is the Savior of the world. And this is what's happening in this painting. Now, there's a few signs of it. The crown of this man is at his feet there. You can see he's humbling himself. He took his crown off as a way of respecting the newborn king. And if you see on the left side, there's a column that's been broken off and kind of knocked down. It's an image of the overthrow of the old perspective of the world. It's a symbol that this is a revolution that's taken place here. The columns of the old system are knocked down, and there's something brand new here. I love the little guy there on the right hand side who's looking out at us as if he's saying, "I don't know what to make of this." Anyway, it's a whole meditation on what it takes to accept into our lives and into our hearts a manifestation of God. It is a revolution. It does throw us. It challenges us. It makes us look more deeply. It forces us to humble ourselves. I mean, this is what we should be doing this week. Now, the gospel chosen for today is the familiar story of the multiplication of the loaves. And this is an epiphany event. This is a revelation of God in our midst. God comes into our midst and he reveals that he is moved with pity for the crowd. He has the heart of a shepherd who looks at his sheep who don't realize that they have a shepherd. They're wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. And isn't that a great or accurate image of the world? We live as if we are sheep without a shepherd. We fear as if we're sheep without a shepherd. We panic as if we're sheep without a shepherd. Anxiety reigns the world. That's the way sheep without a shepherd are. They don't know who's going to take care of them. So I think it's a good description of the world. But what the gospel shows is that we're not sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and he's here. And he's moved with pity for his sheep. He teaches, and then he feeds. Now, part of the challenge of this gospel, and Jesus does this very deliberately, the apostles say, "Well, why don't you send all the people away?" This is typical human way of seeing things. Get rid of these people. Get rid of this problem. You know, lock them up, quarantine them, isolate them, whatever. You know, don't protect yourself. That's our natural response. Protect yourself. It's just like Herod on Sunday. You know, I don't want any new kings around. I'm the one who's the king. So dismiss all these people. Get rid of this problem. And Jesus puts the challenge right back to them. Give them some food yourselves. That's what knocks down the column on this image. Jesus is knocking down the column. He's knocking down our way of seeing. We don't think naturally of giving what we have to other people. It doesn't come naturally to us. We think, well, if I give it to someone else, well, then I won't have it, and it will just, they might sell it and buy drugs with it. That's the kind of thing we think. Well, that if I give it away, it's going to go to waste. And of course, that can happen. If we're just giving, if we're just throwing things around without a basis in the will of God, yes, it will go to waste. The point of Jesus is not just give away everything you have, but put your trust in me. What you have, what do you have? You have from me. What you give according to my will. And if you entrust me with what you have, it will be multiplied beyond your capability, but even beyond your imagination. So this is part of pondering Epiphany, that we are not sheep without a shepherd, and we're not simply in possession of the few loaves that we have. On our own, sure, all we have is 5 loaves, but on our own, we're sheep without a shepherd. But if we are entrusting ourselves to Jesus, well, then there's a completely different dynamic here. There's power here. There's abundance here. There's hope here. There's healing. There's truth. And especially, there's love. There's love. This is what is described so remarkably in today's first reading. Let us love one another, because love is of God. See, that is that's the new foundation. The old column of selfishness and self protection and self-righteousness is knocked down. The new column is love. And love, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. This is part of the mind-boggling mystery of Epiphany. Maybe if someone said God is love and meant the spiritual principle on which creation is based is love, maybe someone would say, fine. But we're talking about love who has entered into the world in Jesus Christ. It's not just love out there in outer space somewhere. It's love in a human, in human nature. It's love in practical ways. It's love in giving food to people. It's love in being concerned about people who are hungry. Divine love expressed in very practical human ways. So this love is with us. This love feeds us. This love is manifesting himself to us. This is what we're supposed to be taking in nowadays. So sure, we pay attention to our health and health of our loved ones and social distancing and everything. But that's not the whole picture of what's going on here. Let's not forget that God is love, and that anyone who loves is begotten of God and knows God. Let's not forget that God multiplies himself for us to feed us, so that we have plenty of love to offer to one another.